Chaos.radio. Music, podcasts, entertainment.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Newswave. My name is Tom Howe and I will be your host for the next 30 minutes, taking you through some of the exciting news content and insightful guests from the community that were featured across Chaos Radio this week. Now we are into December, where better to start than Christmas itself? You can't escape it, it is almost upon us, and there are loads of events going on in our area that you will be hearing lots more about here on Chaos Radio over the next few weeks, I'm sure. One such event takes place on Old Vicarage Place in St Austell today, Saturday the 2nd of December, where Studio for Dance are hosting their very own Christmas fair. The Community Interest Company offers accessible and high-quality dance opportunities for young people in Cornwall, alongside running a really cool space that encourages a variety of live performances in St Austell Town Centre. Alice Walker, founder and co-director of Studio for Dance, joined me to explain more over a mince pie.
I actually started off when I was 16 as a voluntary project. Now we're quite a huge community interest company trying to make a difference. So yeah, we have a lot of volunteers here that do great work. So it's thanks to them really and the whole team that make things happen. Yeah, we're really busy. Lots for the community, but also young people that want to dance and go on to do it as a career or just for fun. So we run a whole program of dance in the evening, weekends and holidays, dance classes, workshops, but we're also in partnership with Cornwall College. So we run a level 3 performing arts course with them. And then in our community event space, we try and put on small performing arts performances, or we even do stay and play toddler sessions because we've got a little community cafe.
Okay, that sounds really good. Is this for all ages or a specific group?
Yeah, start at age 2 for the dance classes and go right through with the college course to 19. But I guess our events that we run in the space are open to all ages.
You never see dancers not enjoying themselves, do you? Like such a fantastic, like enjoyable thing, but also sort of health and well-being benefits on top of that as well.
Yeah, so I think, and I've always believed, that it gives young people life skills and sets them up, whether they go on into the performing arts industry or they go to uni and study something else. We've had young people go and do fashion, and then I've got young people that, like Jess, she's danced with Stormzy, she's been in the Samsung advert. So, but it sort of set them up, and I guess those team skills, friendships that they'll have forever, really good for your mental health. And I think with the cost of living crisis and just keeping young people and families active, it's really important, more so at the minute, just having something positive to do. We've had some young people that have been here for like 10 years. They'll go off next year to uni and stuff, but just to see them grow and the benefits of friendship and confidence. I had one young boy that didn't speak when he got to us, and now he's at like private dance school doing amazing things and hosting shows. Yeah, there's huge benefits, I think. And the community. So the building that we're in costs quite a lot of money to, because it had nothing, no electric, and everyone was on board. So crowdfunder, the town council, and everyone wanted to make it happen. So we're really grateful for them.
I believe as well, we've just talked a little bit about it a second ago. You've got a couple of events coming up, some nice fundraisers, some nice Christmassy stuff as well. Santa's Grotto. I'm particularly looking at the mince pies and hot chocolates. what can you tell me about those?
Yeah, so on the second, our fundraising committee, they're going to decorate. We'll have a huge Santa's Grotto in our small studio, and the unit will turn into like a Christmas fair with activities and games for children as well. And our cafe will have lots of hot chocolate and mince pies. And on the 9th, we've got a family party. So we've got a little Christmas disco, and it's just £2 a ticket or £5 for a family of 4. So we've tried to make it as accessible as possible. And then all the funds will go back into running the centre and all the activities that we run for young people. We've got lots of accessible things running. So do please pop in or contact us. I'm always here to help. We have just been successful as well, I think I can tell you now, with some energy funding. So we'll be open for free internet and just the warm space, so people can just come in and be warm, have refreshments and use the internet. So we did it last winter. It comes out every winter, and we applied again this year because it was so successful. We're still running the stay and play, which that funding initially started, and we've just found out that we've got it again for this year. So it'll run from December the 11th to March. So we'll just have activities and open space where it's warm and free internet.
What can people do if they want to get involved? And yeah, also, what can they do if they want to come and dance?
So if you can find us on our website, www.studio4dance.com, or we do use social media a lot, so Facebook, Studio 4 or Unit 4. But yeah, we're always looking for volunteers, or if they want to come and dance, get in contact. We've got lots of funded projects and paid classes as well, but come and get involved.
Thank you so much to Alice Walker of Studio for Dance there for taking the time to chat with us here on Chaos Radio. A reminder that their Christmas fair is underway right now at Unit 4 on Old Vicarage Place in St Austell, featuring a wide range of crafts and stalls, as well as a generous serving of those lovely mince pies and hot chocolates. Their Christmas party follows on December the 9th, with tickets priced at £2 per person or £5 for a family of four, representing great value, I'm sure you'll agree. Details on both events and much more besides can be found by searching Studio 4 Dance on socials. And just a reminder that the 4 is the digit 4, not F-O-R or F-O-U-R or anything like that. Studio 4 Dance on socials. Time now to hear from our second guest of the afternoon. So the fantastic work being done by West Country Women was celebrated last night at the second annual West Country Women Awards. The prestigious ceremony highlights the achievements and triumphs of women across Cornwall, Devon, Dorset and Somerset, with categories such as Women in Tech, Entrepreneur of the Year and Diversity and Equality. Another is the Inspirational Leader Award. Among the nominees was one Emily Tishore, who, among her many hats, is a facilitator for Georgia's Voice. Now, you may know them as a suicide prevention charity offering emotional support to women aged 18 to 25 right here in Cornwall. Emily discussed her work with me on Chaos Radio, but just before we hear from her, a quick warning that the following clip does tackle some challenging topics that could be difficult to hear for some listeners.
I've been through a lot of struggles. Like, I've dealt with my own struggles with suicide, hospitalizations, drug addiction, alcohol abuse, and obviously I was born with a physical disability as well. So being the person that I wish for my younger self, but also to help all of the young people out there who were once like me, or who I was once like. The work that I do for Reach Charity and the Limb Difference stuff, I wouldn't be the person that I am today if I didn't have the support of that charity. And I went on their kids camp, which is now something that I mentor for. Like, I needed that. I needed to see people who look like me to have the confidence that I do now. And with the Georgia's Voice stuff that I do, I didn't actually have the support there. I had support from hospitals and from like very clinical based stuff, but I didn't really have any outside support. And I know social prescribing is becoming a big thing now within communities and that like community help. So I really wanted to be part of that movement and help that grow and help release the stigma around suicide and mental health. With mental health as well and suicide in particular, and the work that I do for Georgia's Voice, I feel like that's still quite a taboo thing. And that's probably why that it has all of this stigmatization around it. And also it is like a really vulnerable thing to people, for people to speak out about. It's not an easy topic. It's not an easy job to support people, and mental health is such an eclectic, you know, wide range of things within that. It is hard. This is going to sound really cliche, but, and I think a lot of people must have said this to me even when I was struggling, and I don't think I believed it, but it does get better. Like, it really, really does. And it's so easy for me to say that as someone that has gone through lots of therapy and like different things to help me. Holding on to that like tiny little bit of hope is so, so important. And I think even like in my most depressive states, I still had that tiny, tiny little thread. And it was just a thread that I held on to. So yeah, I just encourage people to hold on tightly to that and know that it does get better, even if you feel like it doesn't.
No, that's incredible. That's really powerful. It leads me on to, it looks as if you're getting quite some interest in the work that you're doing.
Like, I was just so honoured to even be nominated, and I was nominated by one of the girls in the group that I facilitate for. I've seen her progress, like, and her potential since the beginning of the year. That's the time that I started in January this year, and already I've seen such an amazing progress in her throughout the groups. And so just to be nominated by her and to know that I was an instrument in her progress is just such a beautiful and amazing thing. And then to be selected as a finalist as well, like, it is a bit surreal considering where I have been in my life as well. Like, I would have never imagined to actually be here now. So I didn't know that the girl from my group nominated me, and I found out through an email, and I'd never heard of the West Country Women Awards before. So I went onto their website and I looked at all the things that they're doing, and they have like women in business, women in sport, and all of that. And it's this amazing platform to share and celebrate women. And so I got that email, and I also got an email from Sophie, the person who runs Georgia's Voice as well, to say congratulations. And then what I had to do was I had to submit my own application and my own sort of like reasons for why I should then be in the semi-finals. You get nominated, and then it's the semi-finals, and then it's the final, and then obviously the winner is announced. So I just thought, oh, I'll just write some of the stuff that I've done, tell my story a little bit. And then I got another email saying that I was selected for the semi-finals and to attend an award ceremony at Powderham Castle in Exeter. So I went up there with my partner a couple of weeks ago. Again, not really expecting anything, just like being totally awestruck and honoured by even having been nominated. And then when they read out the Inspirational Leader Award category for the finalists, my name was the first name that was read, and I was just like, whoa. So yeah, that was really lovely.
You sound, I hope you don't mind me saying, you sound quite modest about this whole thing. I can imagine it's probably, I don't know, with modesty in mind, it's probably quite hard to write your own application as well, to, you know, obviously somebody's nominated you, but then to nominate yourself. What did you include, and how did you sort of come up with what you finally sent in?
Well, do you know what? The thing about that was I have been trying to get one of my books published. And in the publishing industry, the way that works is you have to write a book proposal, which is basically like selling yourself and trying to big yourself up. But when I first started writing proposals for books, that was really hard. So I feel like because I did that, and because I got good at doing that, and I like honed that craft a little bit, I was then able to apply the things that I had learned.
The Emily of 10 years ago, let's say, what would she be saying to you now?
Oh, she would probably want to give me a big hug.
2023 is almost over. It sounds like you've packed quite a bit in. What does the future hold for you?
Yeah, hopefully ignite some hope in people and help some more people to know that they're not alone. I think that's the main thing. Bringing hope, bringing joy, bringing life and love, and letting people know that they're not on their own and they don't have to struggle on their own. And you can want better and do better for yourself. Also to shine a light onto all of the inspirational women at Georgia's Voice. Like it's not just me. There's so many other inspirational leaders who help make up that charity. And I think that's really important as well. And also if you are a woman and girl aged 18 to 25 and you're struggling with your mental health, then don't hesitate but to get in contact with the team at Georgia's Voice.
Thank you so much to Emily Tishaw there, a facilitator for Georgia's Voice, who, as I said, are a suicide prevention charity offering emotional support to women aged between 18 and 25 here in Cornwall. If you have been affected by any of the issues raised in Emily's interview, you can find out more about Georgia's Voice by visiting georgiasvoice.co.uk. Right, it's time now to dive into the, quite frankly, incredible journey of the Curnow Football Alliance. They are an organisation building an inclusive international football team to share and celebrate Cornish culture around the world. Sounds fantastic, doesn't it? Curnow's disabled team recently embarked on a tour to Spain. Now, this is an experience captured by independent Cornish filmmaker Liam Heaton for an upcoming documentary titled The Unbeatable. So called because the film chronicles the team's remarkable undefeated record of 110 matches. Yeah, you heard that right. 110 matches unbeaten. That run includes victories at the likes of Crystal Palace, Derby County, and of all places, sunny Tenerife. Simon York, Director of Inclusive Football within Curnow FA, spoke candidly to me on Chaos Radio earlier this week about the team's story, the barriers they've had to overcome, and the positive impact that has followed.
We reached out looking to get a few games to start off with locally. And do you know what? A shout out to Julie, Julie Bowler from Southwest Cerebral Palsy, that allowed us to have a game and embrace disability as a whole. Now, and we weren't too sure what to come up against originally, because we are pan-disability, a wide range of disabilities from mental health through to cerebral palsy themselves, dwarfism, and myself with my stroke. So we started building up friendly competition competitions with Bristol, with Wellington, local teams in Curno. Reached out, even had an 11-a-side game to see how we got on from there. And it started to snowball that we were seeing that, you know what, we're growing as a team. We're now becoming unbeaten in 10, then 20. And okay, we started to play a lot of the local teams now. What can we do more on the national front? We reached out to a few competitions, Doncaster being one that was possibly the biggest in the UK. Fantastically run, and we're hoping to go up there again next year. And we all drove up. Some of the players, when I was saying that they've never really left Cornwall, they've only really travelled once or twice, and that's mostly been with family, and never been outside Cornwall to be part of something, and took a bit of ownership of it, and they absolutely thrived. And we went there and we won the two of the leagues up there, the Premiership, the top league, and the Championship, the league below. And when we started, that belief started to come in that, do you know what, we're actually not too bad at this. Do you know what I mean? So we started to reach out to some of the teams that are very well established. Derby, for example, that an amazing team, and we've made some really, really good friends along the way where we remain unbeaten. I think that a lot of teams see us now as a team to beat, which is great, but we're being asked to go to these competitions because we're showcasing a positive way of disability. This is where we got asked to then go over to play Tenerife. We were now, I think, 70 games unbeaten within the UK at that time, expecting them to go, well, who are you to start off with? But they embraced it. They was like, well, tell us more about your story. And I sent some pictures on the La Liga front, for example. The team like, yeah, go on in, you can come over. Getafe was one that reached out to us first of all, and was like, well, yeah, we'll come over and play against Rayo Vallecano, and let's have a couple of friendlies. Then I was like, well, do you know what, where can we go from there? Read out to Tenerife, and Tenerife just jumped on board straight away. Let's put a competition in place, let's get our friends involved, let's have like a free game competition. And they took us to the stadium, and they just looked after us for a whole week, took us up a mountain and took us out for proper Spanish food, and just made it like a family. Like, do you know what, you're an extension of us. And we've now been doing that for 2 to 3 years. So we remained unbeaten. We went out and played the best teams. When it comes to the journey that everyone's gone on and being unbeaten, yeah, we are 110, and this has led to now Callum and Cam Charlton, that they've now been offered a possibility that they can actually go and play La Liga General themselves. So coming from Curno, being told, like my son, like I said, at 8 years old, can't play football, well, won't be included. So now going over and possibly having a run out for Rayo Vallecano. And that's all started from Curno. That's all started from playing 2 years ago against the first game against Southwest Cerebral Palsy, going over to Doncaster, to Crystal Palace, then to Belfast, and now possibly running out for Rayo Vallecano. But to be on live, well, to be on telly, to play in the facilities that they offer. Yeah, we remain unbeaten, but I feel that we're unbeaten because of some of the barriers that got put in front of us. And that's where Curno Inclusive came from to start off with. Well, get out there and break down some of the barriers, including disability football and inclusion. We're now showcasing what disability football can be, what it is. And you've now got teams from all around the world. For example, we've got German teams, for example. I've got a team in Holland that are stepping forward going, we want to play you. Asking the question why they want to play us, thinking, oh, well, they just want to come and beat us. Being the unbeatables, they do. But at the same time, they want us there because it's an extension of a disability family. And what better way to go and showcase disability apart from playing abroad and bringing two nations together on it?
Absolutely incredible story, isn't it? You talked about players not having ventured outside of Cornwall before, suddenly having this platform to travel around the country and around Europe as well, not only representing themselves, but also representing Cornwall and Curno, and also representing their disability as well, if you like.
From where we started, there's a lot of players that come in lacking confidence, some without work, for example, that we've really tried to help on their personal life, not just their football life as well. And a couple of players coming in saying, well, they seemed isolated. I won't mention names, but the player coming in said most of the time they didn't leave the house. They've now gone on, for example, I'll start just downstairs with my son, for example, that he's now got a degree. He was told that a good few years ago that with his disability, that he would struggle to get past like E's and F's of the old GCSE kind of method, and he won't succeed and won't be able to go to university. And he's now passed with a 2.2 from university. He's now going on to be a teacher now within a school as a teaching assistant to do PE. And that's all come from personal growth as such from Curno. We've got players that didn't never left really Cornwall before, now jumping on the plane to go to Tenerife and in Belfast. You've got players that were isolated. One of mine, CJ, actually wrote a nice little powerful piece. I believe it is in the documentary that is looking to go out, that he was isolated. He was trying to understand his own disability, isolated at home. And now he's got married. He proposed because he had the confidence to do so, and he's now gone on to get married. He's got wonderful children, and it's really, really inspired CJ to push himself. And you've got Gary, for example, that is now, he's gone from playing disability football into mainstream, and he's had a run out for Liscard, and he represented Curno men's team against Sapney. He was on the bench there and part of the squad, a disability player with disability, and that's all become from just joining the team. And I would say that to anyone, if anyone has got disability that wants to get involved, Curno's right there to do that. I wouldn't like a disability to stop a player playing football. I think football should be football for everyone, and that's a nice slogan it is that the FA are using. I do believe they're trying to do that football should be for everyone. It's proven now, hopefully, with the documentary that's come out and us being unbeaten now in 110, and do you know what, you can do it. It's more to me about the friendships and the family that we created. And it really doesn't matter if you're part of Cornwall or you want to get involved in disability football, just get involved. Don't put own individual barriers in front of it, because they're not there. You can smash them down. I promise you that.
Wow. Truly inspiring stuff. Thank you to Simon York, Director of Inclusive Football within the Curno Football Alliance. Look out for them. For more information, search Curno FA across social media, and be sure to look them up on YouTube as well in order to check out the excellent trailer for the upcoming Unbeatables documentary. Now, humour me with a little bit of audience interaction. Where do you turn in times of hardship, and do you know where to look in times of trouble? Well, those were some of the key questions asked at a hardship and homeless networking event that took place at St Austell College earlier this week. The aim was to educate staff on how best to support students in challenging situations, as well as raising awareness for the students themselves that the community is there for them to tap into. A range of different organisations were present within the Key Theatre, each with their own stand displaying relevant information alongside a friendly representative ready to engage. Sam Smith, Student Experience Manager at St Austell College, joined me on Chaos Radio to explain more.
The aim of the session is to raise awareness and upskill staff to help all of our staff and students build an understanding of what's available, what support is out in the community to help them whenever they're facing hardship. So whether it's homelessness, whether it's financial advice, whether it's jobs, whatever it is, whenever they come across a challenge, it's about giving them the skills, the opportunities and the knowledge to be able to support themselves. My team, we support students, but we're not always there weekends, holidays, evenings. So it's just making sure that they know what to do if they're ever in need.
Where did these conversations come from?
So actually, it started with, we have a student union here, and it started with, we wanted to look at doing different things to support our students and start build links in the community. And we had an increased number of students coming to us with obviously financial hardship in the current climate. So we wanted to do something that would support that. So it was a conversation with our student union as to what do students need. And that's where it developed from. So we've worked together with the students to put this on. And then we started to reach out to people in the local community. People started to come back, and we just thought the idea of a networking event would be really good because it brings everybody together. Mm. And also a lot of the staff were coming to us asking questions. How do I support my students? How do I help them? So it's just an opportunity to kind of put all of that together.
What are the organisations that you've partnered with?
We've got St Petrox are going to be attending. We've also got the Job Centre attending. We've got Curno Youth, CM4C, we've got Coast Housing, Harbour Housing, we've got Active Plus, we've got our social prescriber that's going to be attending. We've also got Healthy Cornwall, Brooke, Wise Up, and then First Light. Within house, we've also got our in-house finance, transport and careers and guidance services that will be there as well.
Wow, so that's a really wide-ranging, I know you touched upon it a minute ago, but that's a really wide-ranging set of organisations there. So there really is a little bit of something for everyone. You seem to have thought of a range of different issues. Were these issues that were brought to you then?
Yeah, so I feel it's a really privileged position in my job, because my job as a student service manager, student experience manager, is to support the students. So support the students on their journey through college, whatever their challenges and barriers are at the time, we're there to help them. So it partly came from what students were approaching us with, what we were helping students with. But then it came from when I reached out to one group of people, they would then say, well, what about these people? We also have partners that we work with regularly. So we get the Women's Centre. We also have Action, our social prescriber, Healthy Cornwall. They work with us regularly. So they're here monthly. So they put us in contact with other people. And then it just grew from there. One of the big things is we've been doing a November we've had as a hardship month. So we've had a real hard, so kind of like a social inclusion activity where we've had a food drive. So we've been encouraging staff, students to bring food in, which we're going to donate to the Snostle Food Bank. They're coming in on the event as well. So it's going to be a bit of like, you know, we've done this to support our local community, but also then we've got this in to support our students.
It's important, isn't it? It's vital. You know, this is the building blocks of the rest of their lives. So having that support there now at this age is, like I said, vital, isn't it?
We're all about resilience. We're all about building resilience, building independence. So we're not always going to be there. We will do everything we can to support them whilst they're here, but we want to build that so that by the time they leave us, they have that level of resilience, they have that understanding, they have the knowledge and the skill, so that when they go out into society, they go into jobs, they go to university, they've got a real knowledge and understanding of how they can help themselves, and they've got the ability to be able to go and help themselves. Because you're right, I think there are lots of barriers that are in the way, and I think one of the barriers is that young people are scared, or they don't know where to go, they're afraid to ask for help, and this is about breaking down those barriers. The more we can break down barriers, the more we can kind of make it really easy for them to get that support, then the better. But then we're going to do a bit of a follow-up. So what we're going to do afterwards is we're going to get them to go back to with their tutors, with their groups, and have that conversation. Go, okay, what did you get out of today? If something like this happens, which of the services do you think you'd be able to link into? What will be really beneficial for you? Then each of the services is going to leave us a bit of information as to what they can help, what they do, who they can help, and how we could access their help in the future. And then we're going to put a bit of a guide together, which we'll be able to use on our campus moving forward. So the idea is it's an event, but then we'll have something in place that's there, a bit of longevity, a bit of kind of the idea of this is the event, but then this is what we're going to do with it moving forward. I just think it's really important that, and this is one of the biggest things that I have, is that if there's help out there and help available, it's really important that you access that support and that help that's available. And you should never feel like you have to sit and struggle. And there is always somebody there that will be able to help, whether it's advice, guidance, information, resources, what it is. And I think that one of the biggest things we want to do is help people access the support that's there, because you should never have to struggle on your own. We're education, so we don't have much money, we don't have much finance, but it's just about tapping into what is out there and build. I think the more you can create that community network of people that's working together to support each other, that's kind of going to be the empowerment bit, isn't it? It's about empowering the young people. It's about empowering people to be able to kind of go out there and get what they need, get the support they need. And I think once we've got a whole community of people working together and supporting each other, that's when things start to really change and make a difference, isn't it?
Ah, how lovely. Thank you to Sam Smith, Student Experience Manager at St Austell College, for speaking to me on Chaos Radio earlier this week. Now, while I was looking for detail of how people can get supported with a range of different troubles and challenges, I found the Safe For Me website. It's one of a range that provides educators, service providers, and parents with the resources they need to help educate, guide, and support both children and young people in staying safe. Now, for more information, visit safeforme.co.uk. Now, we started with it, so we will finish with it. It's time for some more Christmas, and one harbourside town has become a lot more sparkly and festive this weekend. Returning for its fifth year, the Tunnel of Lights at the Shipwreck Treasure Museum in Charlestown opened its doors for a brief period last weekend ahead of their official opening yesterday, Friday the 1st of December. I indulged in some of the magic during a visit last Saturday, and while I was there, was joined by production manager Lynn Rubenheimer.
It's been such a joy to finally be able to open up the doors and to welcome the waiting families that have been lining up and to watch them interact with the spaces. It's a very different experience this year. There's a lot more story and narrative, and you know, it's a bit of a risk, especially when you call yourselves the Tunnel of Lights and people are expecting, you know, thousands of lights, of which there still are. But I think that the fact that the story that we've created and the spaces that we've created are so beautiful and so Christmassy and so magical that people are really getting into it. So yeah, it's just been exciting. It has been exciting just to see everybody here.
Lots of different things as well. Like you said, a huge amount of variation, something a little bit of fun for all ages, I think. And I did see in there people from sort of tiny babies being carried around to a few sort of the older generation walking around and enjoying it too. I think getting some last minute Christmas presents as well. Can you just remind me how long you're here for?
We really kick off from the 1st December all the way through to the 31st. We do have Christmas Day and Boxing Day off, which I think we deserve. Ticket prices, all that information is available on our website, which is www.shipwreckcharlestown.co.uk. There are two sets of prices. We have our peak and off-peak season, and we also have Santa visiting us on the 15th until the 24th of December, which is all that information and all the booking is available via the website too.
Just walking around as well, it's such an amazing venue to be able to do it. I imagine it's quite unique, isn't it? It's really sort of, it takes you aback when you're walking through it.
Yeah, and I think that's the trick with this space. You know, they're very small, they're very narrow little tunnels. The museum obviously is a windy tunnel itself, actually. So working within that, you have to be quite clever in what we can do with it and how we can make people engage with those spaces. But it is an amazing place to work. The tunnels are over 150 years old. We're surrounded by history, which we want to try, and we'd like to keep that in people's minds as they come through the event. But you know, the reality is that there's lots and lots of lights, and some of that is hiding those historical aspects. But I still think people get a sense of where they are, especially when they walk over to the preview tunnel, which overlooks Charlestown Harbour. Yeah.
Yeah, that's incredible. It looks as if you've had so much fun putting it together. Is there a certain part of it that is your favourite or something you can recommend for people? Is there a certain point of it that you think, yeah, this is fantastic, this is what I really want people to see? Or is it just more of a holistic thing? You want people to see a bit of everything. Is there anything that really stands out to you when you were putting it together?
Oh, you know what? I actually don't want to really give too much away, very honestly, because I actually think it's all pretty amazing. Every room, there's a surprise. Every room, there's a little story. And every room, there's a character or two that jump out at you. So I think probably the fun thing for me is Santa's garage, which people can find, and getting into his sleigh, which wobbles about pretty beautifully.
That was Lynn Rubenheimer there, production manager for the Tunnel of Lights at the Shipwreck Treasure Museum in Charlestown. Highly, highly recommend it. For more information and to buy tickets, visit shipwreckcharlestown.co.uk. Now, remember, if you have a local news story you'd like to share with us, email news@chaos.radio or search Chaos Radio UK across socials. That's it. You're up to date here on Chaos. I've been Tom Howe, and this was Newswave. Thank you so much for joining us. See you next week.
Chaos.radio. Music, podcasts, entertainment.